And this is KGNU Boulder, Denver and Fort Collins. And joining us live now in the studio is the other candidate on the Democratic primary ballot in the Attorney General race. Joe Salazar, it's great to have you with us, Joe. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, how are you? It's good to be here.
And we do typically invite candidates to participate in a debate, but Phil Weiser declined to participate in a debate. So we're playing back-to-back interviews instead. But I do appreciate you coming in, and you're also willing to take calls from listeners a little bit later as well.
You bet.
Well, Joe Salazar, you've been serving in the State House since 2013. Why now run for the Attorney General's position?
Because what I've seen from this office, serving as Vice Chair of House Judiciary that oversees the Attorney General's office, these past two administrations have essentially sold the Attorney General's office to all the big special interests, the big corporate interests, particularly oil and gas. And it's about time that we have a real progressive, someone with an actual record, bringing that seat back to the people.
Well, we'll talk about your record in a minute, because I think you have a history and a voting record at the state legislature that can give people a real concrete idea of your service. But in terms of oil and gas, and I did talk to Phil Weiser about this, particularly his endorsement by Ken Salazar, who's now an attorney for the Anadarko industry. Your thoughts on the Attorney General's role in dealing with oil and gas right now, particularly when it comes to the lawsuits that have been filed against communities?
So the Attorney General's office is here primarily, first and foremost, to protect the people of the state of Colorado from industries like the oil and gas industry. And that's where John Southers, that's where Cynthia Kaufman, and even Ken Salazar fell down on the job. So there is no ambiguity for me in terms of where I stand. I will be protecting the people, the health, safety, and welfare of the people and the environment first over oil and gas interests. That means that I'll be going after them for the Firestone explosion, and as well as the other 13 other incidences that have happened since the Firestone explosion. And they're scared to death of a Joe Salazar for Attorney General, and they have every good cause to be, because I'm not going to tolerate the abusive practices of Anadarko or any other oil and gas company.
But the role of the Attorney General's office, though, is also to uphold the laws of the state. And the laws of the state, many would say, are skewed against communities and in favor of industry. So how would you balance that?
I don't think so. We have some regulations that just aren't being used. There are good regulations that we could use to hold accountable oil and gas for the Firestone explosion, as well as all the other incidences that have happened since then. They just haven't been used. So the Attorney General's office has powerful tools by which to use, by which we can hold this industry accountable.
Well, could you give our listeners an example maybe of laws that aren't being used right now to do that very thing?
Sure. There's a number of rules pertaining to clean water and clean air that we have in our own state statute. And also some protections for communities that just haven't been used by the Attorney General's office on the Firestone situation. We had a huge evacuation of half the town of Sterling last summer because of a natural gas leak, as well as a high school football game that was evacuated in Greeley earlier in the fall, and that hasn't been prosecuted. We had orphan wells that belched thousands of gallons of oil onto a state highway. That hasn't been used. So there are a number of tools in our state statutes pertaining to clean air, clean water, that can be used, environmental protections that can be used to protect the environment as well as people.
Well, in addition to the Attorney General's race this November on the ballot, voters will be taking a look potentially at Initiative 97, which would significantly increase setbacks for new wells and new development. Would you support that?
I've not only supported it, I endorsed it, and I endorsed it early on. I was provided a draft copy of the setback language before it actually went on to the ballot. I agreed with it then. I know that my Democratic opponent says that there's ambiguity in there, but those are the talking points of oil and gas. I've been at the legislature long enough to know that anytime oil and gas doesn't like something, they say that things are ambiguous or too broadly defined, which means that people are usually on the right track. And so I've looked at it, I've endorsed it, and I support it.
In terms of the pattern that we've seen with the Attorney General's office and the state suing communities, whether it's Longmont or Boulder being threatened or a variety of Front Range cities, how would you work with communities who want to regulate fracking, but current state law does not allow them to do that?
So there's a couple of things that I'm going to be doing. I'll be sitting down with the various municipalities that do want to have some type of control, whether it's zoning or what have you, in order to regulate a little bit better what's happening with the oil and gas industry. Sit down with them and work as a partner with them. So that's number one. Number two, as Attorney General, and this is one of the bills that I brought last year, I'll be looking to withdraw the appeal on the Martinez decision. That's Martinez versus Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, where the Colorado Court of Appeals said that the main goal of COGCC is to protect the health, safety, welfare of the environment and the people before giving out any oil and permits. I will look to withdraw that appeal. And if the Court of Appeal or the Supreme Court does not want to adhere to the withdrawal and still wants to render a decision, then I'm going to work with the legislature to codify the Martinez decision. We have to change the state laws. I mean, right now, the way that COGC is being run and operated is all in favor of the oil and gas industry. And so as Attorney General, I will look, and as an indigenous man, I will look to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the environment and public first, and work with local governments to ensure that they're able to do what they have to.
Madhu, you've served in the State House for many years, so you have a sense of the difficulties very often in changing some of those state laws. So is it an appropriate role for the Attorney General to work with communities who want to change those laws, or are you there to just enforce the laws that are on the books?
No, the Attorney General's office is there to get an idea of what's happening with the people of the state of Colorado. That's who the Attorney General represents first and foremost. So that's why I am always out in community, whether it's at a protest, march, or rally, or whether it's at a meet and greet, or just sitting at people's kitchen tables. I'm always out there listening and finding out what it is that people want from the state and want from elected officials. And so as part of the role of the Attorney General, I will be sitting down with communities to figure out what can we do within the confines of the law that we have right now. How do we need to change the law in order to help out your municipality best regulate the health, safety, and welfare of the environment and the public. But here's the other thing, and this is something that a lot of people don't talk about. The Attorney General's office is a very powerful policy advocacy arm. The AG's office has a lobbyist who shows up at the Capitol every single day to advocate for Cynthia Kaufman's positions. Those positions are not anti-fracking. They're very pro-oil and gas. I will, for my policies and for my my lobbyists, I will have that person in the Capitol arguing for better protections for the health, safety, and welfare of the environment and the people.
We're speaking with Joe Salazar today on KGNU. He's on the Democratic primary ballot in the Attorney General race. We heard from the other candidate earlier this morning, Phil Weiser. We will be taking some calls in just a moment and letting people know that all of our primary coverage is online at kgnu.org. Joe, aside from fracking, what are some of the other major issues you see facing the state?
Because Cynthia Kaufman has left so much on the table at the AG's office, really not doing much at all, I have a laundry list of things that need to be taken care of. Number one is, working with the attorneys within the Attorney General's office to get a better work environment for them, a place that they would be very proud to come to. Number two, oil and gas, as I've already indicated. Number three, take a look at the disparity in education funding throughout the state. We have education funding being the way that it's funded out in rural areas as compared to urban areas. Our rural schools are on 4-day school weeks, where our urban schools are on 5-day school weeks. Our rural schools can't afford building new buildings, whereas our urban schools, we're building new schools all the time. That's a disparity in funding that I believe might prove to be unconstitutional, because we have an equal protection problem, particularly when it comes to people of color, our students of color, as well as our special need kids. There just isn't enough funding that we're seeing out in the rural or in the urban areas, for that matter, but particularly it's hurting the rural areas. The other thing is consumer protection. We see nothing on the Attorney General's front to go after these pharmaceutical companies that have created this mess on the opioid crisis. We have some of our poorest counties going after these pharmaceutical companies. I think there are 10 now, and the Attorney General's office is doing nothing about it. So I'll be joining that lawsuit and helping them move those lawsuits forward against these pharmaceutical companies. The other thing is that I actually have a record on criminal justice reform. And let me just say something. Everything that my Democratic opponent talks about, or Republican opponent talks about, they always talk about, this is what I'm going to do as Attorney General. These are the things that I've already done, and that I'm moving forward as a candidate for Attorney General. And once I become Attorney General, I'll continue that work. So on criminal justice reform, I've done that work for the past 6 years, working on some real heavy efforts in terms of the point of contact with police officers. I brought a bill that it was called the Citizens' Right to Record Police Activity. It's the one of its kind in the nation, where citizens out in public, if they see police officers acting in any particular way, can record. And police officers cannot take your data and destroy it, or take your phone and destroy it. And if they do, that police officer is held accountable for $15,000, him or herself, not the department, but they will be liable for it. That made a huge change throughout the state. Now we no longer hear the media saying they're taking our stuff. So from point of contact all the way into the criminal justice system to release and to reemployment, I have been working on each of those things. I have a very deep legislative record for real, true criminal justice reform. So that's the other thing that I'll be working on as well. And then there are a host of others.
Well, one of the areas that we've had you on as a guest when you're been in the capacity as a state legislature is around civil rights as it pertains to homeless people. And you were behind several attempts to get legislation passed around right to rest. We're seeing more and more cities, particularly along the Front Range, introduce and enact laws that many people say are directly targeting the homeless people. Is that something that the Attorney General's office can take on?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I took on was getting rid of debtor's prisons in the state of Colorado, which means that a court can no longer throw you in jail for the inability to pay a court fine or cost. But now we have these municipalities enacting these criminalization rules for the homeless, which then perpetuates itself in terms of the court fine or cost, right? So on the back end, they're still trying to violate the prohibition against debtors' prisons. So as Attorney General, and I've been very clear about this, I'm very clear on all my positions. As Attorney General, I will work with the ACLU, and I've already sat down with the ACLU and said, I want to work with you in order to go after all these municipalities that are criminalizing the homeless. And so I think I'll have a very strong partner with the ACLU in doing that. I've tried to talk with these municipalities throughout the years that we've brought this legislation to say, hey, we have to do things in a better way. Criminalizing people is a repetition of the past. It doesn't work, and it's inhumane. Let's stop doing this. But they've figure that it's a tool that they can use to address the issue of homelessness. As I've told some of the city council members of the various municipalities, tools are often used as weapons. And I think you're using it as a weapon.
Joe Salazar is our guest today on KGNU. We'll go to the phones in just a moment if you have a question or a comment. 303-442-4242. We did speak with Phil Weiser, last week, but we broadcast that interview this morning, and I asked him about funding. He is raising a lot more money, and some of that coming from out of state, a lot coming from Democratic establishment groups. Where is the funding coming from your campaign? What do you have to say?
Coloradans. About 99% of my funding comes from Coloradans. It's about $53 average that we're getting from Coloradans, and I'm very proud of that. We're not getting money from, you know, the unlike my Democratic opponent, we're not getting money from the attorneys that work for the firms that represent all the special interests, all the big corporate interests, oil and gas. We're not getting money from them, right? He is. And see, I listened to his interview, and he doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about that. He just says, I'm getting money from individuals. Yeah, but where do those individuals work, Phil? How about the attorney out in Salida who represents the Nestle Corporation and the fact that they're looking at that water over there in the Arkansas River? You're getting money from that person. Or what about the attorneys who represent oil and gas? Well, you're getting money from those individuals who represent that industry. So we have to dig deeper into how people get their funding and where they're getting their funding from. Just to say it's from individuals, I think that's disingenuous, and I think it's dishonest to put that out there.
This idea of the Democratic establishment endorsing certain candidates and the AG race, the Democratic primary race, is part of what's being discussed here. Ken Salazar endorsed Phil Weiser. Ken Salazar is an attorney for Anadarko. And what are your thoughts on the revolving door that many people are seeing from regulatory agencies into law firms that are working with the industry that you might have previously regulated, and the influence on politics and all of that?
So Ken Salazar's endorsement has been a gift that keeps on giving for me, because people now understand how deep his ties are into the oil and gas industry. And frankly, When it comes to what's happening in Boulder and what's happening in Erie and Firestone and Frederick and Thornton and my own house district, where we have oil and gas fracking into my house district, there are people who are just have absolutely cooled themselves to Ken Salazar. So with him endorsing Phil Weiser, I'm not so certain that that was a positive influence for him, because of the fact that Ken is now representing Anadarko. But this is what we're seeing, though, right? We're seeing that we have these Democrat elites who want to endorse in primary races, and then they use their influence and their reach into funders to help get those individuals funded. And we're seeing that happen across the nation. Well, the difference is this election cycle is we're seeing the not so well-funded progressives are beating those individuals because people are tired of the fact that their seats are being sold to the highest bidder. And that's what's happening here. Now, Phil's going to talk about, well, you know, I signed the Clean Campaign Pledge. Well, where you're getting your funding from, that is open game. That is fair game. We can look at that because the people should know where you're getting your funding from, and try and stop using the Clean Campaign Pledge as both a sword and a shield when it only suits you.
Well, this idea of revolving doors, so you have particularly with attorneys and in the Attorney General's office, is there something that could be done to maybe stop this? I'm not sure how big an issue it is right now in the state of Colorado AG's office, but with the various different attorneys, in terms of people moving from regulatory agencies into private practice that then deal with the industries that those regulatory agencies were trying to regulate.
Oh, it also, the reverse is also true, that those who used to work in the private industry are going into the Attorney General's office and being more favorable towards that industry.
So is there something that can be done at the highest level in the AG's office?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'll be looking at every single particularly management level attorney at the Attorney General's office to see what their background is, and also to take a look at their practice and their record to see if they are representing that industry within the Attorney General's office or if they're actually representing the people. Because if they're representing industry and they're not there for the people, they're going to be gone.
We're speaking with Joe Salazar, one of the candidates on the Democratic primary ballot here on KGNU this morning. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call us at 303-442-4242. We'll go to our first caller, Rod, calling from Longmont. You're live on the air.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
It's great to see that there's a true progressive that's, you know, going to represent the people. You know, not to beat a dead horse about the oil and gas industry, you know, our family was victimized by the oil and gas industry, and under not before Cynthia Kaufman, there is a state statute, Article 3460-121, Part C 7A, which shows that if a industry has a pattern of violations, that they can lose their corporate charter with the state of Colorado. We were number 69 of 70 air violations by this one operator. And I was told that that can't be considered a pattern of violation. So are you going to use that statute and, you know, look at these, you know, corporations that, you know, push the law, and then they're backed up by the Attorney General's office to let them continue doing business? And one other question, and I'll get off the air, is with the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, right now it seems like it's pretty well stacked with industry insiders. Are you going to push the new governor to actually have a balanced oil and gas commission to where, like, maybe half of it is citizens or something like that, so it can be, you know, more fair? And I'll get off the air and listen to your comment.
So the first part of it is using statute to go after this industry. I will use whatever statutory authority is out there to hold this industry accountable. If that means that there are multiple violations and they lose their charter with the Secretary of State's office, then that's one way of going about doing it. I'll tell you that I have taken on the oil and gas industry for the past 6 years at the legislature, and I have never seen a more abusive industry that affects so many people and other industries, like our recreational industry, for God's sakes. It affects them directly as well as so many other industries. So yes, in order to hold them accountable, in order to make sure that they are good players in the state of Colorado, I will use whatever statutes are out there in order to hold them accountable. Now, on the second part of it, which was
the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, you work with the governor to influence to get more citizen input on that commission?
So if the governor feels that the COGCC is still a viable commission, which I would advocate that it probably is not, but if it looks like it could be salvaged by switching around the membership, then yes, I will fight like hell to make sure that that membership is reflective of the state of Colorado and not of it, of industry. Once again, you know, as a six-year legislator, I've had to deal with the COGCC in the state capitol, and they are extremely disrespectful to legislators. In fact, one of my first bills that I brought was with then-Majority Leader Dickey Lee Hollinghorst on closing the loophole on the greater Wattenberg area, the clean water testing area. There was a loophole in the greater Wattenberg area, which includes Thornton and Weld County and so many. It's a really big area. We don't do any water quality testing there. And then when COGCC came in, they were extremely disrespectful to the majority leader, to myself as legislators, talking about how, well, you know, they do all these great protections. They do all these fantastic things, how these pieces of legislation are unnecessary. And then we see accident after accident after accident. And I'm really tired of the COGCC.
Well, Joe Salazar, who is on the Democratic primary ballot for the Attorney General race, is with us for, we have about another 10 minutes and we have some more calls coming in. I do want to ask you about the Attorney General's office in Colorado, given what's happening at a federal level, and we're seeing problems happening with federal laws now around cannabis and also immigration and individual states having concerns about what they're being asked to do with the federal administration. What are your thoughts on how you would deal with that?
So if you notice that in my list of priorities, I didn't mention going after the federal government, because that's the low-hanging fruit. All of us are going to be going after the federal government. We're all going to be going after the Trump administration. I just don't highlight that as, you know, the number one priority. It's something that needs to be done. Once again, these are issues that I've been working on for a very long time on immigration issues. I've been working on this since before I was a legislator in 2006, when Colorado passed its most anti-immigration legislation ever in the United States, which was then surpassed by Georgia and in Arizona, because everyone wanted to compete with the most anti-immigrant. I was there. I was there to advocate against that legislation. And then from 2008 all the way up until I became a legislator, I was working against Secure Communities, the 287G program, which was under the Obama administration. And then as a legislator, I got rid of Senate Bill 90, which was Colorado Show Me Your Papers law, a law that gave birth to Joe Arpaio in Arizona. I repealed that law, and hardly anybody knows about it because we did it very quietly. So I've been working on these issues. And then I brought the Ralph Carr Freedom Defense Act last year and the Minoru Yasui Freedom Defense Act this year to protect our immigrant communities from being terrorized by the Trump administration and to stop our local governments and our state government from assisting the federal government with immigration enforcement. That's not our role. And I'll be like Javier Becerra, the Attorney General of California, and I will sue any state agency, any department, any locality that uses Colorado funds to engage in federal immigration enforcement. It is not our role. The Supreme Court has said very clearly it is not the state's role, and I will sue anybody who attempts to terrorize our immigrant families. When it comes to cannabis, I'll be relying on the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution, the States' Rights Amendment, in order to protect the state of Colorado and the voters on what we have passed and put into our Constitution, which is legal recreational and medical cannabis. This is something that the state of Colorado wants, as well as many other states are passing it throughout the nation. And so I will work with the U.S. Attorney's Office, have a great relationship with them to ensure that they just don't overstep their bounds here in the state.
Well, we'll go back to the phones. We'll welcome Mary Ellen calling in from Denver. You're live on the air on KGNU with Joe Salazar.
Good morning, and thank you, KGNU, for hosting this, and thank you, sir, for your record of progressive public service. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
So you've just been touching on my question, actually, which is the role of the state attorney general's office in federal class action lawsuits. I believe that our current AG has signed on to the lawsuit against the Clean Power Plan, and that clearly does not represent the majority of people in Colorado who care about protecting our environment, and we have voted for advancing renewable energy. So I don't understand how that's even allowed, that she can do that. But as Attorney General, how would you look at joining lawsuits like that, and, you know, to represent the majority of our citizens?
So the thing that I'm going to do, number one, is all those lawsuits that were implemented by Southers and Kaufman, we're going to jump ourselves out of it, and then we're going to jump into all those lawsuits filed by other attorneys general throughout the United States, going after the Trump administration for trying to roll back the methane rule, the clean water rule, the clean air rule, all those environmental protections that we have put forward and they're now trying to get rid of. I'm going to join those lawsuits, because why do people come to the state of Colorado if it's not for the beauty of this state, for the clean air and the clean water that we have? And I say that very carefully, because it is being soiled by the fossil fuel industry. But people come here for the beauty of this state, the majesty of this state. And as a Colorado son, a native son of this state, I honor our commitments to having a clean and healthy environment. So I will be joining all those lawsuits to go after this Trump administration.
Thank you, Mary Ellen, for that call. We'll squeeze in another caller, and it's Jim in Boulder. You're live on the air.
Hi. There's a recent article in The Intercept saying how good you are and how all these people that are endorsed by the Anadarko Salazar, the bad Salazar, that they were all sort of pro-oil. So, I mean, there's things about how that Salazar exempted fracking from the the injection part of the Safe Drinking Water Act, and he opened the Arctic to drilling. So he's really awful, and yet he's in charge of our Democratic Party along with Hickenlooper. So they're all in favor of bad people. Instead, we're supposed to, it's better to be with the insurgents, like, I mean, not insurgents, but the more democratic people like you, Joe Salazar, and Foot for DA in Boulder, and Williams for the 2nd Congressional District. So you can read about all that in The Intercept. If you go to, there's a recent article about how evil Ken Salazar is and how he's endorsing all these pro-fracking people.
Okay, Jim, thank you for your call. We just have a few minutes left with Joe Salazar. Some other topics we'll just touch on very briefly, just to get you on record. The death penalty. As Attorney General, if the death penalty is on the books of the state of Colorado, how would you navigate that? What is your position, first of all, and how would you navigate that?
I've already taken a position through my votes to repeal the death penalty. Now, something that my Democratic opponent said is that if he becomes Attorney General, you know, he's going to have to defend the death penalty, even though he disagrees with it, he'll have to defend it. Well, here's the thing, is that an attorney general doesn't have to defend anything that is unconstitutional. And the death penalty, based off of what I have seen in my massive experience as a legislator, has been used in an unconstitutional fashion. Just take a look at the number of people who are on death row, all black, right? We have a disparity in the way that the death penalty is applied from rural and urban. Once again, that's an unconstitutional violation. So I don't think that my Democratic opponent really gets it when it comes to the death penalty, and I will not fight for it at all here in the state of Colorado.
We just have a couple of minutes left with Joe Salazar. Joanne is in for the Morning Sound Alternative, kindly giving us some extra time. What about some of the other laws that state legislators like yourself have been trying to repeal, like Tabor? What is the role of the Attorney General's office in dealing with some of those statewide issues?
Well, right now, the lawsuit was dismissed last year on Tabor, but it sounds like it might be revived to get rid of it. And I've been on record that both as a legislator and as well as a candidate for attorney general, I will not defend it. We are seeing the unconstitutional effect that Tabor is having throughout the state, particularly on communities of color, on special needs kids, and so many others in rural areas. We are seeing the unconstitutional disparate treatment of these communities and these individuals. I will not defend Tabor. Now, my opponent says that he will defend Tabor, but he really can't give a cogent answer as to why. And I think that's because he's once again the Democratic establishment, which I find oftentimes when it comes to Tabor, they're extremely cowardly. I mean, if you're going to really take a strong stance against Tabor, take it. Take it, because people need to know that you're going to get their back.
Joe Salazar is on the Democratic primary ballot, which have been sent out to folks, people getting them in their mailboxes this week, and in the Attorney General's race. Joe, what are some of the other opportunities for people to either engage with you directly, find out more about your policies and your platform?
So you can always go to www.salazar4coag.com. Salazar4coag.com. There's a place to donate. There's a place to also volunteer. We have thousands of volunteers all across the state. This is what makes my campaign different from my opponents, is that his is funded by, you know, the really big money. Mine is generated by the power of the people. And so we have people making phone calls and sending out text messages all day long, every single day, and I'm hoping that people will get engaged.
We'll put a link to Joe Salazar's website online at kgnu.org. There'll also be a link there to the interview that we broadcast earlier with Phil Weiser, the other candidate on the Democratic primary ballot for the Attorney General's race, and all of the other forums we've hosted, including the Boulder County District Attorney debate. That's all online at kgnu.org. Joe Salazar, thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you.